Please turn in your Bibles to Psalm 86. If you use the blue Bible in the pew, and that's the version I'll read from, it's page 494, almost right in the middle of the Bible. Psalm 86, it is the Word of God. It is prayer. Inspired by the Holy Spirit to help us learn how to pray and grow in our praying. So hear the Word of the Lord, a prayer of David. Incline your ear, O Lord, and answer me, for I am poor and needy. Preserve my life, for I am godly. Save your servant who trusts in you. You are my God. Be gracious to me, O Lord, for to you do I cry all the day. Gladden the heart of your servant, for to you, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. For you, O Lord, are good and forgiving, abounding in steadfast love to all who call on you. Give ear, O Lord, to my prayer. Listen to my plea for grace. In the day of my trouble, I call upon you, for you answer me. There is none like you among the gods, O Lord, nor are there any works like yours. All the nations you have made shall come and worship before you, O Lord, and so glorify your name. For you are great, and you do wondrous things. You alone are God. Teach me your way, O Lord, that I may walk in your truth. Unite my heart to fear your name. I give thanks to you, O Lord, my God, with my whole heart, and I will glorify your name forever. For great is your steadfast love toward me. You have delivered my soul from the depths of Sheol. O God, insolent men have risen up against me. A band of ruthless men seeks my life, and they do not set you before them. But you, O Lord, are a God merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness. Turn to me and be gracious to me. Give your strength to your servant and save the son of your maidservant. Show me a sign of your favor, that those who hate me may see and be put to shame, because you, Lord, have helped me and comforted me. Amen. You may notice at the top of the sermon outline in your bulletin that the text is three verses taken from these three Psalms, Psalm 25, verse 4, Psalm 27, 11, Psalm 86, 11. Of course, taking those verses in their context, over the years, as I've read the Psalms, and this may be true of you as well, may not be news to you, but over the years as I've read through the Psalms, I've noticed something that I want to share with you this morning. As we get started, here's a question. In the midst of the troubles of our lives, troubles that move us to pray for God's help, do we pray for the things for which we should be praying? Do we pray for the right things? I think these three Psalms of David, all of which are heart cries to God in the midst of much trouble in his life, all these three Psalms and the three verses that I refer to will help us in our praying. Well, first of all, beset with trouble, cry to God as David did. Secondly, make a focus for your prayers. Teach me, O Lord. And thirdly, how does God teach us his way? beset with troubles, cry to God. That's what David did. That's what he does in these Psalms and many other Psalms. If you've read the Psalms, have been reading in the Psalms over the years, however long you may be, have been a Christian, you've noticed this. If it's new to you, if this whole thing is new to you, well, that may be new to you too. But we have been going through Psalms for several weeks, and we have seen over and over how the psalmist is aware, as he expresses in the Psalms that we've just read, he's aware that before God he is a sinner. He prays in Psalm 25, verse 8, that the Lord would have mercy on him in his sins. He instructs sinners in his way, he says. And he comes humbly before God because of that. In verse 9, he asks humbly that God would teach him God's way. In verse 11, he beseeches God to pardon his iniquity, for it is great. Now this is the one who also says, hear my prayer because I am godly. Can your sins be great and you be godly? If you're looking to God for the forgiveness of your sins through faith in Jesus Christ, he counts you among his godly people. And the definition of godliness in the Psalms, in the Scriptures, is not perfection. It's not sinless perfection. It's a heart that trusts in the Lord and looks to him for guidance in life. Looks to him for the grace needed to serve him in life, and therefore humbly confesses sin when it's made known. So that's some of the trouble that troubles David. It comes up in all the Psalms that we've read. In some ways, encouraged, Psalm 86, he's encouraged as he thinks about his own sins to know that God is faithful in his mercies toward him. David is very aware of his weaknesses. I am poor and needy, he says. He speaks of the troubles of his heart. He speaks of the distresses that are upon him. In Psalm 25, 17 and 18, 16, 17 and 18, I am lonely and afflicted. The troubles of my heart is enlarged. Bring me out of my distresses. Look upon my affliction and my trouble. Now, we may think of David as a great king and a great warrior, but David saw himself before God as a man who needed what only God can give, the strength that only God can give. A man who by nature was weak. More than anything else in these Psalms that we have read, the troubles that beset him are troubles that come upon him because of people who are his enemies. And we've looked at this in the Psalms. I think we spent a message on it a couple of months ago. My enemies are many and treacherous, Psalm 25, 2 and 3. They are many and violent, verse 19. Evildoers assail him, Psalm 27, verse 2. An army encamps around him, encamps against him, ready to make war, Psalm 27, verse 2. He is beset by false witnesses who intend violence against him. Ruthless men, insolent men, Psalm 86, 14. Now, you and I probably don't have an army encamped against us, sharpening their swords and setting the arrows in their bows to kill us. But we certainly do have an enemy. We have an enemy for our souls, the devil himself. And all human enemies that we might have for Jesus' sake are, well, they're just being used by the devil. In all of this, what is David praying for? Well, of course, what he's praying for is that God would deliver him. Deliver him from his guilt. Strengthen him with regard to his weaknesses. Deliver him from his troubles and distresses. Protect him from his enemies. So we too may come with David to, he speaks of him in verses 20, Psalm 25, 5 and 27, 9, as the God of my salvation. We too may go to the God of our salvation. if he is indeed the God of your salvation, because you have come to him for salvation through faith in Jesus Christ, then you may keep going to him for deliverance from sin, from the guilt of sin, deliverance from the effects of your own weakness in the face of temptation, deliverance from troubles in life. We may always go to the Father in heaven through Christ, who intercedes for us at his right hand. But now, in the midst of all these prayers for God to hear me, to answer my plea, to listen to my cries, and to deliver me, in the midst of all these troubles, David prays, "Teach me, O Lord, your way." Troubles in life often have the effect of confusing us. What should I do? What's right? I'm overwhelmed by maybe bills I don't know how to pay, people pressure me to do this, people wanting me to do that, maybe something the doctor told me that I can't help being worried about, lying awake at night thinking about. And in the midst of such a swirl of things, confusion besets us. Now, it's only human to want pain and trouble to go away. But in these prayers inspired by the Holy Spirit, we see also the desire of a true child of God in the midst of his troubles to know the path God wants him to follow, to know the way of the Lord through the maze of conflicting pressures and voices. And so I'll say this. If you pray for God's help, you must at the same time pray for his guidance, his instruction, his direction in how to live. Because if all you're praying for is that God will make your life better, and you're not praying him to lead you in his paths of righteousness as your faithful shepherd, Psalm 23, then what you are doing is using God. Using God. And God is not the great ATM in the sky. Remember the code, press the right buttons, out come answers. God is God. He is the Lord. And he brings us to himself through Jesus Christ that he might restore between us and him that relationship in which he is truly our Lord. And we are no longer in rebellion against him. But for Jesus' sake, our heart's desire is to walk in the path the Lord wills for us. Now, God's way, what David prays for, God's way, God's path, that's his truth. Psalm 25, verses 4 and 5. Make me know your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. Lead me in your truth and teach me. For you are the God of my salvation. For you I wait. Lead me in your truth. Lead me in your truth and teach me. For you are the God of my salvation. In Psalm 86, verse 11. Teach me your way, O Lord. And lead me. Teach me your way, O Lord. That I may walk in your truth. Your truth. Unite my heart to fear your name. God's way is the way of walking in his truth. This is not something subjective. We're not interested in discovering, you should not be interested in discovering what's true for me. People say that. Well, you believe what's true for you and I believe what's true for me and we'll get along as long as we don't argue about it. You can't manufacture truth. Truth is truth when it comes to God. Would you like to drive over a bridge designed by an engineer who decides that, the laws of mathematics, I really wish 2 plus 2 equals 5. That just feels better. I like that better. That'll be how I make calculations from now on. You put your lives in the hands of people who in their day-to-day lives really do understand that truth is truth. And it doesn't change based on our feelings or our needs. And when it comes to our relationship with God and the right way to live, truth is truth. It's His truth. It's objective. It's the same for all people at all times in all places because God does not change. His way, which is an expression of His truth, is an expression of His character, His being, His holiness. And it does not change. Now somebody might say, in the midst of all the troubles I've got, all the things that are pressing on me, things that are giving me trouble and keeping me awake at night, I really have more pressing things to do than to be asking for a Bible lesson. No, you don't. You don't. We are engaged in a war. A war. We don't see it. There are no cannons outside aimed at us. We are engaged in a war, and our defense, our eternal well-being, depends on knowing and following God's way. Going our way only gets us in trouble and deepens our trouble. But the enemy of our souls, the devil, uses troubles, pain, pressures, the conflicting voices of this world, of friends who don't know Christ, to confuse us and to seduce us. There's a very apt expression you've probably heard, the fog of war. That's a good expression for what we sometimes find ourselves in the midst of. I'm at my wit's end. I just don't know what to do. People say this, people say that. I get good advice here, but it doesn't agree with good advice I get there. What do I do? Well, you need a way out of the fog of war. The devil's aim is to either have us back in his dark realm, but if you're truly a Christian, born again by the Holy Spirit, he's not going to get you back. So at least what he wants to do is make you as useless as he can make you in the service of Christ by compromising your integrity and ruining your credibility in the eyes of others. So the devil confuses us. Well, the reason you're in trouble is because of all the wrong things you've done. And why should God forgive you? You keep doing the same things over and over again. We need to be clear. We need the clarity of God's word. We need God to teach us clearly the way of forgiveness. The way of forgiveness through faith in Christ. And the promises of God that assure us forgiveness when we come to Christ repenting and confessing our sins. Sometimes the only way out of trouble, real trouble, the only way out of real trouble seems to be a way that also seems wrong, morally compromised. Well, but I'm in a jam, and it's the only way out. Won't God understand? Can it be right in this circumstance, this once, to do this? Boy, do we need God's guidance. Do we need the clarity of God's word and the clarity of God's promises that if we trust Him and follow in His way, He's not going to abandon us? That's what the psalmist means when he says in the psalms that we've read, don't let me be ashamed. I'm trusting in You. Don't let my enemies say, well, he trusted God. Nothing but disaster. What a fool. God let him down. No, we need to learn to put our trust in God and obey Him regardless of the outcome. Maybe we won't get out of the jam as quick as we wanted to. Maybe it'll lead to something that we never thought it might lead to, that's better even. We don't know, but we know God who does know. And that's the important thing. And then there's the thinking, well, but everybody's doing it. Everybody does it, and nobody thinks there's anything wrong with it. So, well, maybe there isn't really anything. I mean, all my Christian friends, you know, think that's the right thing to do. But maybe it really is okay. We need to be guided by God. We need to be led by God in His way. In the fog of spiritual war, we can easily lose our way in the ways I've described and many others besides. We can easily lose our way in the fog of war, and we need God constantly leading us, teaching us, reminding us of what He has taught us, what is the right way to live and to live for Him. So David says in Psalm 27, verse 11, lead me, teach me, O Lord, and lead me in a level path, straight and level path, because of my foes. How can I maintain my relationship with You, O Lord, if I let my enemies and Your enemies turn me aside from Your path? I need to know the way before me, that I may be faithful to You and not be drawn aside by my enemies. At the end of Psalm 25, verse 21, he prays, let integrity and uprightness preserve me, for I wait for You. Integrity, that is, wholeness of purpose, not conflicted. Doing this today, doing that tomorrow. Doing this on Sunday, the church thing, doing something else and contrary tomorrow in other circumstances. No, we need integrity. Integrity of heart, integrity of purpose, integrity of conscience, and uprightness. These are what will preserve us in the midst of trouble as we wait for the Lord to answer our prayers and deliver us. And this is why David prays in Psalm 86, verse 11, unite my heart to fear Your name. I need to be united in my commitment to the Lord, wholehearted and undivided in that. Now, how does God teach us His way? It's not rocket science. He has revealed His way. He has revealed His truth in His Word by the work of the Holy Spirit through apostles and prophets. And you must put yourself where God's Word is faithfully taught and apply your mind and heart to learning it and living it. Why should I go to church? I know I'm speaking to people who are in church. You don't need to hear this, do you? Why should I go to church? Well, one real important reason is because there the Word of God is set forth. It's read, it's explained, you're challenged to believe it and to live it. And we need that constant reminder. I'll tell you, I don't think once on Sunday morning is enough for people. I think we need to be coming when the meal is provided. We need to be coming and being fed by the Word of God. But you also need to be reading the Scriptures and be studying the Scriptures. That sounds like work. Yes, that's right. We're not talking about reading comics for entertainment. Christianity is not a soundbite religion. God has given us a big book. Because there's a lot that God has to say to us. And for your well-being, for your well-being in the midst of troubles in life, for your well-being that you might know the path God wants you to follow in dealing with troubles in life and temptations in life, you need to be in the Word of God. That's one of the reasons why trouble comes into our lives. God, I said the devil uses trouble, well, God uses trouble to drive us to His Word. What does God have to say about this? You need to pray earnestly, as David prayed. Pray earnestly that God would lead you and teach you. And you need to seek the fellowship of believers who know the Word. Get into a Bible study where people talk about the Word and talk about its application and encourage each other to believe and encourage each other from their experiences of the faithfulness of God. Encourage each other to believe and follow the Word and grow in it. And then pray for each other. That's what we do in our Bible studies in the middle of the week, which I urge you to be part of. Now all of this begins with Jesus Christ. He is the living Word of God. He is the only Redeemer God has given for sinners like us to be delivered from our sin, from the guilt of our sin, from the power of sin to govern our lives and constantly confuse us. Through faith in Jesus Christ, repenting of our sins, turning to God for mercy, and turning to God's Word, God will enable us to grow in understanding and in obedience. He will change our hearts. He will change our lives. He will lead us in His way and make us more like Christ. The more you have of God's Word in you, the clearer will be His path before you. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for the prayers of David, which were not only the prayers of David, but prayers guided and inspired by your Holy Spirit working in his heart that we might learn to pray from him. And so, Lord, make it our heart's desire to know your will, not your secret will, the will of your decrees, what will happen tomorrow or the next day, but to know your will revealed for us. How you want us to live. How you want us to make choices. How you want us to face trouble. How you want us to respond to the conflicting voices of this world. How you want us to proceed through life in a way that will say, thank you, God, for being the God of my salvation. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for being my Lord. Help me to live as your servant. Guide us, O Lord. Guide us on a level path. Unite our hearts to fear you. Teach us your way. And grant us grace that we may follow it. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.